Hi everyone, I hope you've had a good week and it's a real privilege to be able to speak to you like this again. I really want to welcome you, whether you are a regular part of us at Open Door, whether you're a guest with us today. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you're with us last time, Chris set a challenge where he's encouraged us to pray for two people and that we would have the opportunity to share the hope of Jesus with them, and that collectively by the end of the year, that we could have shared the hope of Jesus with around 100 people. And just a great challenge for us, great provocation. I'm just wondering, how have you got on so far? Have you begun to pray for anyone over the past week? Have you even had any opportunities? Of course, we'd love to hear stories of this taking place as we begin to get to share the hope of Jesus with others, because as we share those stories, we will encourage each other and be able to press on for more. And I just wanted to share a couple of opportunities that I've had to share the hope of Jesus recently. One of those situations was in Alpha just the week before last, actually. And there was a few people in the group that I was in that were facing really challenging situations. They were feeling battered by the storms of life. And I was just able to share the story that I had read recently of Jesus, the story that Jesus told of the two builders that built a house, one of them on rock and one of them on sand. And the sort of point of the story is that tough times are inevitable for all of us. We will all face storms in our life. But I was able to share that the key thing is the foundation that we're building on, and that a solid foundation, building your life, your house on a rock, involves coming to Jesus and hearing his words and putting them into practice. And when we live that way, Jesus brings hope to us, even in the most challenging of circumstances. It was great just to be able to share the hope of Jesus in that way. And then over the last week, we've also, Ange and I have had a chance to share the hope of Jesus with a friend of Angela's, who's become a friend of ours, who has recently been released from prison, actually. This is a great example of what Ange was talking about a few weeks ago, where she was saying about proximity to people really helps us have compassion for people. And so when you hear the story of this lady, actually it releases compassion and not judgment for the things that she did to get herself into prison. And so she's recently been released, and we were able to welcome her into our home, among our family, to offer her love and acceptance. We actually had a Christmas dinner with her, which was great fun, not for this year, like an early Christmas dinner, but for the ones that she'd missed. And wonderfully, she had come to know Jesus and begun to put her trust in him whilst she was inside in jail. And we were able to talk together about the hope that Jesus brings and the new life that she now has in him. And so I want to encourage you that there are so many opportunities for us to share hope, the hope of Jesus, with people. And I want to remind you and ask you, will you pray? Will you be alert this coming week? Will you share the hope that you have, if you've got that hope in Jesus, at every opportunity? And I want to speak today out of a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which begins with this incredible truth about the new life that comes from Jesus. It says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. See, God's story is all about making things new, restoring creation to the way that he always intended. You see, God is dealing with the brokenness in the world, that generation after generation of mankind have done wrong and rebelled against God. And God doesn't want to settle for that. He's bringing people back to himself. He's reconciling the world to himself. He's settling the difference between God and between us. And all of that newness of life is from God. That's what these verses say. All this is from God in verse 18. This is not something that we've helped towards or contributed towards ourselves. It is a gift. It is all his doing. It is all his plan. It is all him who has carried it out. And our reconciliation with him is only possible through Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, God, as a man, to take our sin to the cross, to be punished in our place, and to rise again to life. And the offer is there. The offer is there that when you accept what Jesus has done for you, when you trust him, when you put your faith in him, when you commit to obey him, choose to love him and relate with him, the Bible says that we become in Christ, that our old life dies and that we are made brand new, whole new creations, new beings, not only physically alive, but now spiritually alive and made new in Jesus as well. And we love this message at Open Door. It's something we celebrate regularly, the new life that has been given. We rejoice in the freedom in Christ that is ours, that we are free from our old life. The sin that the things that we've done wrong has been dealt with. The shame has been removed. And also we revel in our new life, our adoption as sons and daughters, and the honor that has been given to us and the hope that we have for the future. But what I want to bring to our attention in this passage today is that being a new creation is not just about getting rid of stuff. Being a new creation is not just about being free to celebrate and enjoy who we now are in Christ. But as new creations, it's important that we understand that we have a new purpose. We have new responsibility. And that's actually what the context of this verse that we love so much and these verses are about being a new creation. And that primarily, that along with that comes a new calling, that we are entrusted with a new job to do as we live for Jesus every day, that we are no longer serving sin as our master, but now we live and actively serve Jesus. Did you know that? Did you know that having freedom in Christ, being a new creation, means that you have been given new responsibilities? And these verses go on to tell us that we have a new ministry and a new message. It says we've been given a new ministry, new work for us to do. It describes it as the ministry of reconciliation. That's bringing others back together with God. And we're given a new message, and the work that we've been given to do involves delivering this vital communication from God, the message of reconciliation, that through trust in Jesus, we can come back together with God and have relationship with him restored. And so if you have a new creation sitting next to you this morning, I just want you to turn to them and nudge them if you're close enough to do that and say, you have a new ministry and a new message. Go on, do that just now. You have a new ministry and a new message. And the following verses explain this further, and they give us a helpful picture of that role and that responsibility. And Paul writes this in verse 20. He says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And so we're given this picture. We're told that we are Christ's ambassadors. And so I want to draw three things out of this, three things about being an ambassador. First of all, being an ambassador means that we represent Jesus. See, an ambassador is an authorized representative of a king or a queen or a nation or an organization. The British ambassador, if you're a British ambassador based in another nation, you represent the queen, you represent her government, you speak on their behalf and faithfully represent their interests in another land, communicating what they would want to be said, doing the things that they would want to be done. And as Christ's ambassadors, we are called to represent him just like that, to speak for him and to bring about the culture of heaven here on earth. Jesus, in this passage, it says Jesus is making his appeal to others through us. How incredible is it that we get to represent Jesus in this way? that amongst your work colleagues where Jesus is present spiritually, but not now physically. So he sends you, Steve. He sends you, Helen, and you, Graham, to go as ambassadors and work for his interests on his behalf, to do business with integrity, to demonstrate generosity in your workplace. He sends you, Esther. He sends you, Pete. He sends you, Heather. He sends you, Erin. And he sends you as his ambassadors to bring love, his love to others in your schools and in your hospitals and your clinics. And then in your friendship groups, Jesus is active amongst those people, but he's not physically visible. And so he sends you, Janet, and he sends you, John, and he sends you, Emma, as his ambassadors to bring his hope and to represent him by living a life built on the solid foundations that he gives. And in the street in which he's placed you, Jesus has placed you there as his ambassador to represent him, Paul and Natasha and James and Caroline. He's placed you in that street specifically to represent him there, to stand up for justice on his behalf, to offer people healing and to offer comfort and to introduce them to your friend Jesus. And in your family, Jesus is longing to reconcile those that don't know him back to himself. And so he sends you Colin, and he sends you Becky, and he sends you Nick to point people to him and make his appeal to others through you. And so my first kind of point of application today is this: will you accept your assignment? Will you take seriously that responsibility that you have been given? The passage that I read says that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. So the first question is this: are you in Christ? Have you trusted Jesus? Have you chosen to love him and to relate to him and to give your life to him? And if your answer is yes, then you are a new creation. And if you are a new creation, then all of you who are new creations, you have this role as Christ's ambassadors. So have you accepted it? That part of the new life that you have is to be an ambassador for Christ. It's part of the deal. It's part of the package. There are great rewards that come from being a new creation, but also great responsibilities. And I want to challenge our thinking on this. In the past, I think I've boxed in what it means to live as a follower of Jesus into developing a personal relationship with God that is worked out often by being supportive of a church and regularly attending church activities and serving willingly on teams to help run those activities and those groups in the church, and developing gifting so that these activities can be run as well and as engaging as possible. But Jesus has called us to so much more. He has called us to be his ambassadors outside of the church, to represent him to the people in the world who don't yet know him. That's where an ambassador does his work or her work. It's in another culture. It's in another place where people think differently and speak differently, and they represent the king. They appeal to others. Ambassadors of Christ appeal to others to be reconciled with God, to be brought back together with God through Christ. And so will you accept that assignment? Will you accept the new responsibility that you have been given? I love this story in Alan Scott's book, Scattered Servants, that we've been referring to over the last few weeks. This is about a guy called Tom. I think often we can find reasons why maybe other people are ambassadors for Christ and we're not in that place. And this is about a guy called Tom who was 81 years old. And he applied, he actually got healed on the streets, and then he became part of the church that Alan Scott was leading, and he signed up for their kind of training school, of their mission training school. And this is what Alan writes. He says, "When I heard that he had applied, I was surprised. The course is specifically designed to create a climate of risk. And upon reflection, I realized that although it was a little late for a gap year, Tom was perfectly positioned to live a life of risk. At his age, there weren't many people who didn't know Tom in our town. He had already established a fine reputation. He had a lot to lose. And yet he embraced the risk and stepped into learning again. He started the course in September with one goal: to lead someone to Jesus. And in February 2014, God granted Tom the desire of a heart, desire of his heart. And within a year, Tom had led 24 people to Jesus, including having the privilege of joining Jesus in leading his 79-year-old brother to life. After he finished the course, Tom continued to risk the impossible. Here is one of his authority adventures. "We went to the train station this morning," he writes. "There was a woman, there were women standing outside having a cigarette. So we asked her if there was anything we could pray for her. She said she had too many troubles to mention, but would like prayer. After we prayed, I asked her what was happening during prayer. And she said she experienced incredible peace and had never felt anything like it before. We then shared the kingdom message of Jesus and she asked him into her life. Another girl was standing nearby, so we asked if there was anything for which she needed prayer. She said she had a very sore stomach. Again, we prayed and the Holy Spirit came upon her in power and completely healed her. She said, 'I have no pain now at all.' So we went next door to the market where we saw a woman using a Zimmer frame. As usual, we asked her if she needed prayer for anything. She said she was crippled with pain. So we prayed and God showed up and filled her. And we shared the message of King Jesus with her. And she asked him into her life." Isn't that incredible? An incredible story of a courageous 81-year-old man showing that age is no barrier to being an ambassador for Jesus. So whatever barriers you're putting up, bring them down. Jesus has called you. If you're a new creation, he's given you a new responsibility to be his ambassador in the world. So being an ambassador is about representing Jesus, but it's also a position of privilege. See, an ambassador is a high-ranking official. It's a place of dignity and status and recognition. Ambassadors are treated as though they are heads of state. They're addressed as such, Your Excellency. And we probably feel uncomfortable with that. We probably feel awkward about the fact that we can see ourselves in that kind of light. See, sometimes we convince ourselves that humility involves thinking less of ourselves, bringing ourselves down, and that somehow that raises God up and makes him higher. But the truth is that God has honored us and God has bestowed this responsibility on us. And by seeing ourselves in the way that God has made us to be, it doesn't take away his glory in any way. And you know, you may feel uncomfortable, you may feel way underqualified, but the truth is, as these verses tell us, that God qualifies us in Christ. I love the way that Paul describes himself and his team in 1 Thessalonians, at the start of 1 Thessalonians. He describes them as those approved by God and entrusted with the gospel. Do you know, God approves you. He loves you. He delights in you. And he entrusts you with responsibility. And we've got to grasp that. He is delighted to have you represent him. He is fully confident that you can do it, being able to live out as his ambassador. And one of the most exciting aspects and privileges of being an ambassador, I think, is the access that we have to him whom we represent. We have open access to King Jesus. We have a hotline to the King, because that's what ambassadors have. They have access to the person that they represent. And we can come confidently to Jesus. We can come confidently to the Father with questions and with advice, asking for advice and with requests and seeking feedback on the things that we're doing. And you know, what we do with this opportunity for access is hugely telling. And I think often I know that I don't make enough of this access that I have to the Father through Jesus by the Spirit. And I want to ask you, are you making time to be with Jesus? Be with the Father? Are you listening to him? Are you talking with him? Because if you are, that's demonstrating that your reliance is in him and not on yourself. If you're failing to do that, that demonstrates that our reliance is on ourselves and in our own strengths and our own abilities. And a big part of this, of course, is prayer. Prayer is so powerful. It's such a crucial way that we get to spend time with God, to be around him, to relate with him, to catch hold of his heart, to ask him for help. What I've been learning is that prayer works best when actually we come gratefully and thankfully and we're tuning in our ears to hear from the Father, to hear the voice of Jesus, to hear the whisper of the Holy Spirit. And as we invite him to lead us and as he gets our attention, as we sense what he's saying to us, then we pray into those things, the things that he's directing us to be involved with. We pray them back to him. And so I want to encourage us to prioritize prayer. That's why it's so great that Chris's challenge last week began with find two people to pray for. Make use of the access that we have. The Apostle Paul reached an incredible number of people with the good news of Jesus. Do you want to do the same? Well, if you want to do the same, then start by imitating Paul's passion for prayer. We read in 1 Thessalonians that Paul prayed for people by name. He says, "We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers." Begin this week by praying for those two people by name. Even in that, allow God to show you who he wants you to pray for. Don't just necessarily go for the people that you think, but actually allow God to lead you into who he's drawing you alongside. We read that Paul encourages us to pray for one another. He even asks people to pray for himself as an ambassador. In Ephesians 6, it says, "Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains." Pray together as a family that you will be great ambassadors for Jesus. Pray as discipleship groups. Pray in your small groups. Pray in your friendship groups. Paul encourages us to pray for opportunities in Colossians 4. He says, "Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ." So we pray for opportunities to open up, and then we're ready and we're alert to step in and to take them. Have you recognized the privilege of being an ambassador and of having access to the King? I wonder, how could you use that access better this week? Just start with a few minutes each day, if that's where you're at, and commit to being still with God. Stick reminders up around the house to remind you to do that. Set an alarm on your phone. Begin to build a habit however you can. And thirdly, being an ambassador means we carry authority. You see, once you've accepted your assignment, once you've begun to make use of the privilege of the access that you have, you also need to know that you carry authority. You've been given authority by the King. The King of Kings has all authority, but he's delegated authority to you. We read this in Luke chapter 9. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. That's how he sends us out. John chapter 14, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing, and he will do even greater things than these." See, as Christ's ambassadors, we not only speak on behalf of King Jesus, but we have his delegated authority, which means we can act on his behalf. We can do the things that he would do if he was in that place. That's why he taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We get to see what heaven is like, and we get to pray those things into the culture that we live in. Do you know what the kingdom of God looks like? Do you know what the culture of heaven involves? Well, it looks like peace and healing and joy and justice and salvation and deliverance and comfort and righteousness. And whenever we encounter on earth an environment that looks different to this, we as a new creation, as a citizen of heaven, as an ambassador for Christ, we have authority to release that culture. And you know, we grow into our authority as we begin to use it. It's like a muscle. We have to begin to step into it before we begin to experience it. We can't just pray for a download of authority and then suddenly every time we look to release it, we see incredible breakthrough. We need to begin to step out courageously, take risks, and we'll grow into it. And I know that I have a lot of growing to do here. I was talking to someone I know recently who'd been horrendously set upon by a gang in a racially motivated attack. And his leg had been broken and his mind was deeply unsettled and he was anxious to go out. And this conversation happened in a public place, and I listened to him, and I expressed sorrow for what had happened, and I was as supportive as I could be. I knew that inside I had the authority to pray for him, to release heavenly peace over his thinking, and I bottled it. I didn't do it. I got fearful of what others around might think, and I missed the opportunity. But you know, as an ambassador for Christ, that's what I can do. That's what you can do in those situations with your colleagues and with your friends and with your family. And so I've come away from there and I've asked myself the questions, how could I do that better next time? How could I represent Jesus better next time I see that guy? How might I make the offer to pray? What words would I use? I begin to rehearse it and I'm growing into the authority that I'm carrying so that next time I'll be able to release that when I see him. Do you know, one of the keys to growing is to have a couple of other buddies that you can be honest with, that you can talk through about these opportunities that we miss. You can work out together, how can we do it better next time? Where we can pray for one another to be more courageous, where we can check back in with one another about the next time we saw someone and whether we took the opportunity next time around. And that's how we begin to grow in this. That could be with your husband or your wife. It could be with a friend. Again, it could be in a discipleship group. Spur one another on. Grow in using our authority that we have been given. And so, being an ambassador for Christ, it's a representative role. You get to represent Jesus wherever you go. It's a position of privilege. You have access to the Father. You have access to Jesus. Are you making the most of that through prayer? And it's a position of authority. Are you releasing the authority of heaven in the culture around you? As we come to a close on this talk, what I just felt that God really wanted to do was actually to release the culture of heaven amongst us. And I felt God speak to me, just as it said in those passages, about releasing healing for those who are sick. I felt God say that, look, you're an ambassador for Christ. You are to release healing. And so I want to step out and to do that right now. And this is not anything special about me. As I've said, it's anyone who is a new creation. And so if someone you are with is sick and needs the healing of Jesus this morning, I want to encourage you that you can do this with me as we just release healing this morning. If you are sick, if you've got pain in your body somewhere, I want to ask you, just lay a hand on it. If it's on your shoulder, lay it on your shoulder. If it's on your head, lay it on your head, you know, so on. Just lay your hand on the place where you are feeling pain or where the sickness is. And I want to pray a prayer and just release the authority of Jesus, the healing of Jesus over our bodies. Jesus, I thank you so much that we are ambassadors for Christ. And as your ambassador this morning, I want to take seriously the responsibility and the authority that you have given me. And I release now your healing as your delegate, the healing of King Jesus through this prayer. And through the prayer of others in a room with someone right now, we pray for sickness to go. We tell sickness to go. We command healing to come. We tell bodies to be well in the name of Jesus. Right now, tell pain to go. Just test it out where you are. If you've got pain in your body, just see if you can move the part of your body that's in pain. Jesus, I speak healing now. I release heaven's authority. I release heaven's healing over every sick person. Anything of spiritual darkness which is coming against people and causing sickness, I tell it to go now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. I would love to hear stories from you. If you have received healing this morning, I believe there are going to be stories of God healing people through what we've done this morning. I would love to hear those stories so that we can share them on a Sunday and encourage others. Go this week, be brave, be courageous, represent Jesus as an ambassador of Christ and live this stuff out. I'm going to hand over to Becky and the band who are going to lead us in a time of worship.